Hello, hello! Welcome back to the Feel Good Factor. I'm Susmita Veganosaurus and I'm so glad you could join me here today. Hey everyone! I have Effia Salter here on the show today. I met Effia on Clubhouse a few weeks ago. I listened to her give a talk about manifestation, and something about that, you know, I really connected to her message. And then she had a free workshop available on her Instagram profile. So I went and checked it out and watched it. And then from there, I had to sign up for her 5-day manifestation course, which is called Conscious Alchemy. And you know, I learned more about her vibes framework, and it was so interesting. As I did this course, you know, lots of breakthroughs came about for me, and lots of interesting things which were deep inside me got dug up. And I'm like, okay, I got to have Effia here on the show. And she herself runs the Manifest Edit podcast, so you all should check that out. But meanwhile, before that, you have to get to know Effia here. So here we go. Hey, Effia.
Hi, and thank you for that beautiful introduction.
It's so great to have you here. I have to personally thank you for the course that you created. It's been very interesting, and I've been manifesting for many years now. I've been practicing spirituality, manifestation. I've been to all of this, but still, every time there's something new to learn for all of us. We can always keep learning, always keep growing, and that's what your course has been for me. So can you tell everybody a bit about how you got into manifestation? Were you always into it? What were you doing before this? You know, you're a manifestation coach now. So before this, what were you up to, and how, what led you to do this today?
So I would say that I have always been spiritual, but not necessarily always aware of conscious manifestation. So from a young age, I would say 9 onwards, my family and I, we grew up Buddhist. And although Buddhism and spirituality are different, there are a lot of elements that cross over. So when I was then introduced to things like the law of attraction in later life, it didn't seem so far a reach for me. It was like, okay, yeah, this is something that I'm aware of. And this is something that, it didn't feel like learning something new. It felt like remembering something. So I went from a position where I was at in 2016, where the year before I just started to learn about things like the law of attraction, conscious manifestation, to having an incredibly hard year in 2016. At the beginning of the year, I was severely anxious, severely depressed. I was hardly leaving the house. And by the end of the year, I was moving from Scotland to Australia. I was having all these incredible travel experiences, and I was feeling really fulfilled in myself. And what really happened in between that was, number one, going into therapy, which actually didn't work out for me, but it was the catalyst I needed to dive deeper into personal development and my own spiritual practices. So seeing how much of an impact it had on my life in just that year, it was something that I was like, okay, I want to make sure that I'm implementing manifestation practices, spiritual practices throughout my life. And really over the past couple of years, especially, that's accelerated and brought so many more incredible opportunities with it, that last year I was like, okay, this is something that I have to coach women on. And surprisingly, many people are surprised to learn that before I was in the manifestation space, I was in the digital marketing space. So I have 2 degrees in marketing. And then I went from the digital marketing space to the travel space. And obviously in 2020, travel wasn't really a thing. So I realized that what a lot of women would be messaging me about was, how did you get the confidence to travel? Or how did you get these travel opportunities? But what they were really asking for was the mindset piece, the manifestation piece. It was just worded differently.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is the thing, right? In a lot of cases, whatever we do, whatever pivots we do in life, one, sometimes it's forced upon us. Like you said, you were in the travel and then 2020 happened, and you know, the whole hospitality industry just went for a toss. But then there's something good out of it. There's something amazing out of it. And you know, you've built this new business based out of not being able to run your previous business, and also helping others with the knowledge that you found in your previous business, which is beautiful, the way you bring it all together. And that does come to mindset, because if we don't have the right mindset, if we don't follow the right feelings, then we'll never be able to see the good in or go with the flow of life. So can you talk a little bit more about mindset as well as the role feelings play when it comes to manifesting the life of your dreams?
Definitely. I think mindset is everything. And 95% of our lives are run by our subconscious mind, but mostly we just operate at the conscious level and think, I consciously want this to happen, or I'm consciously aware of these patterns and behaviors, when actually it's our subconscious mind running the show. So what's really important to me is helping people to have a picture of what actually is going on below the surface. And I always like to think of it in the depiction of an iceberg, and the top like part of the iceberg that's peeking out of the water is your conscious mind, and then the 95% of the iceberg that's below the water is your subconscious mind. And then I see kind of like spiritual practices and tools as a submarine that kind of allows you to journey between the two. And really, I think there are a lot of misconceptions about manifestation and the mindset, if I'm being honest. And for me, one of the most important things is not thinking positively all the time, but having a self-awareness around how you operate and what each emotion is teaching you, what each feeling is teaching you. And instead of trying to immediately like, oh my God, this is bad, I can't believe I had a bad thought, it's like, okay, why am I feeling this? And how can I move through this in a way that feels really good to me? Because when we don't actually process the emotions, then there's additional guilt and shame that comes with them. And the emotion itself isn't inherently negative. It's us who perceive our emotions to be either good or bad.
Oh, that is so well said. Yeah, and we do, you know, in the spiritual, especially all of us who practice any form of spirituality, we tend to feel guilty about having negative thoughts or negative feelings. But actually, that is, you know, they are telling us things. They're telling us something from deep within, right? And that is the only way to reach into your shadow self and do the work there. It's important for teachers like you and coaches and people who are talking about manifestation, talking about spirituality, to stress on this fact that there are no good thoughts, good feelings, bad feelings. They're all teaching us something or the other, and that's just so beautiful. How did you come up with your, you know, your conscious alchemy and your vibes framework? Can you tell everyone a bit about the vibes framework too?
Absolutely. So what happened was I created this vision board in 2018, and I should prelude this by saying that year that I talked about, 2016, that really challenging year of my life, I had also created a vision board that year, and I had manifested travel, I'd manifested a person who was my soulmate at the time, I'd manifested finishing my degree. So I was like, yep, this vision board thing, it really works, and I feel like I'm a vision board pro. And then in 2018, I created another vision board, put some things on it, and I looked back on it at the beginning of 2020, and I realized that none of the things on there had manifested, which was surprising to me, having thought I was, you know, a manifestation pro, vision board pro. Why had none of the things in this vision board manifested? And I realized when I looked at the things on there and when I thought about how they made me feel, that they weren't in alignment with my vision and values, and that many of the things I'd put on there out of where I felt I should be at in life, or what I'd seen other people have, or just things I'm like, oh, this seems impressive, but none of them like made me feel something. You know, when you like think about your dreams and you think about your goals and you're like, I cannot wait for this to happen. Like, I didn't have that feeling, and they just felt really unaligned. So I was like, okay, like, where did we go wrong here? And what I realized primarily was that I had started the vision board from a place of intention, like these are the things that I want to have, rather than who is the person that I want to be? How do I want to show up in the world? And that led to me thinking, okay, I can't be the only one who has approached manifestation this way. And what steps do you actually need to go through in order to manifest your desires in a way that is in alignment with you, in a way that honors your emotions, and in a way that can also be flexible to you? So yes, the vibes framework is a framework, but also at the same time, it's not like you have to do the specific spiritual practices in order to embody your vibe. It's like, okay, you know that you need to do this. Like, what practices will feel really good for you in order to embody that? Okay, you know you need to do this. What practices will feel really good to you? And it's something that you dip in and out of all the time. Like, one day you might be like, oh, I need a little bit more help setting powerful intentions. Another day you might I think you needed a bit more help around balancing your energy. So it's all around understanding your unique signature in the way that you show up in the world and how you can express that in everything that you do. So for context, for anyone who doesn't know what the Vibes framework is, there's 5 steps in this framework for effortless manifestation. And the first step is embodying the vibe of your next level self or of your highest self. That really looks at identifying your values and vision and getting super clear on what they are before moving into setting your powerful intentions. And you can make this even more powerful knowing in mind what your values and vision are and checking your intentions for congruency. Like, is this in alignment with the vision I have for myself and the life I want to create? From there, it's energetic blocks and boundaries, which primarily looks at limiting beliefs, but also looks at clearing yourself out energetically, clearing physical space for the things you want to call in. From there, the second last step is balancing your feminine and masculine energy and working out what it looks like when you're most in your power. And for me, for the longest time, I thought business had to be done in such a masculine way. You know, the Gary V's of the world, I was like, well, this is just how business must be done. And if I'm feeling burnt out and I'm feeling tired, well, that's just a side effect of living the hustle life. But it just made me miserable. And I realized actually the way that I work is primarily in my feminine. That feels really good for me. And of course, I have some strategy and structure, but I do it in a way that feels good. And then the final stage is surrendering the how, overcoming the doubts of, am I supported by the universe, God, source, whatever word you like to use. And also doubts around, am I capable of making my desires happen? Am I worthy of having my desires? Do I deserve to have the things I want play out? And all of these steps combined is magic, which is why I call the course Conscious Alchemy.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And see, that's the thing, right? You're talking about the embodiment and then the intention and so forth. But when you go deeper into each of it, especially, you know, I really related to when you have an intention and then you have to cross-check and verify that, in fact, it is what you want. It is what is aligning with your energy, right? That is so important because often people think they want things based on what they see out in the world or based on societal norms, but that's not truly what's going to make them happy. And that cross-verification we do as a part of this, that's so important. have you, I'm sure that's what the case was when you did your previous vision board, right? So can you tell us examples of things which you thought you wanted and they were on the vision board, but they didn't make you feel so good. But later, you know, when you actually switched things up to things you did want, what were those things?
Yes. So one of the things was, I think it was like 10,000 followers on Instagram. And at the time I was running an Instagram marketing agency. And I was like, okay, like when I have 10,000 followers, then I will feel like legit in this Instagram marketing agency. Then I'll feel legit with like travel opportunities and pitching myself to brands. And when I looked at it, I was like, I already am like really confident in the work that I put out as a content creator. And also this marketing agency isn't serving me and having more followers isn't going to make me fall in love with the business more. So that was a huge one for me. And always, as content creators, you're told you need to have a certain number of followers to get paid for your work or a certain number of followers to be taken seriously. But when I decided to like release that belief and release other people's limiting beliefs, it was easy for me to work with brands and travel overseas and get paid for my work and even have like a radio interview and just releasing that need for it to be how other people had said and just going with what felt good to me, what felt right for me and connecting with my intuition rather than, you know, what exists out there. And I think an important part of embodying the vibe of your higher self is connecting to your intuition and learning to trust yourself and learning to trust your opinions. And a lot of people will be like, what's the right step to take? What's the wrong step to take? You have your own internal guidance system that is going to tell you what feels good for you, but there isn't necessarily a wrong or a right. It's just what in this moment is the best thing for me.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. It's true. How does someone keep tapping back into their internal guidance systems though? Because there's so much out there, so much content, so many messages, people saying all kinds of opposing things. So how do you tap into, you know, your own inner self?
The easiest way to do it is just breathing and remembering to take a deep breath and sink into your body. And I even have programmed into my phone every day at 12 p.m. I have a reminder pop up my phone that says, remember to breathe. And it's not because, you know, I'm not breathing, I'm not alive, but it's just like about taking that intentional breath. And you can feel it in your body when you take a moment to slow down and breathe and notice like I'm in my body is just like a shift. And you can make those little shifts every day in such simple ways. Like, you don't need to overcomplicate it, just being of your body. The other thing, when you said, you know, so many people out there saying opposing things, very true. Pick a couple of people who you really resonate with so that you're not kind of warring yourself over what you want to agree with. And even then, when you're picking a couple of people that you want to follow and stay up to date with their content, you don't have to agree with every single thing that person says. And probably it's likely you won't. Like, I don't agree with every single thing that my friends or my family members say. And if I did, it would be a pretty boring relationship. So you don't have to 100% agree with everyone else. And I think it's also good if you have that element of discernment, because then you can say, I actually do have my own opinions about things as well. So that is what intuition looks like. It's like, okay, like, what fits for me and how can I be more present in the day to day rather than like worrying about how things are going to work out.
That makes so much sense. And, you know, I like that you said it's so simple. You do it in simple ways instead of overcomplicating it and making a big deal of it. I mean, you're right. You just take the deep breath and, you know, you just get back into the present moment, and that makes such a huge difference, right? And we just have to, yeah, remind ourselves to do this. And I guess you have your alarm, you know, set up to do it once a day, but I'm sure you're doing it multiple times a day naturally, right?
Yeah, definitely. And as someone who experiences anxiety, it's really important for me to take those mindful moments, because number one, I'm a very creative person, but number two, I also have anxiety. So it's like those two together, I have to take a moment just to like slow down all the ideas and thoughts in my head. Otherwise, it would just be pandemonium. So whether you have anxiety or not, I think it's important just to recenter, because we are so plugged into everything else, like our laptops, our phones, other people's conversations, that sometimes you can forget what your intuition actually sounds like and also what your intuition actually feels like. So I do talk a lot about mindset, I do talk a lot about manifestation, but these are holistic processes. It's of the mind, it's of the body, and it's of the soul. So combining all three of those things is really important for truly getting acquainted with yourself. And honestly, I think at its core, what manifestation is about one, a relationship to yourself, but number two, a relationship to the divine, which is also ultimately a relationship to yourself as well, a relationship to the collective.
So true. I think it's beautiful that you've understood this in such depth. So what made you want to start teaching it to others? Because that's another thing, right? We all learn things and we're good at following them, putting things into practice and things like that. But sometimes we're called to teach others these kind of things, which not everybody is. So what made you feel called to do that?
I've always felt called to teach others. Like, even from high school, I would set up like after school classes, helping people with their mindsets around getting into uni. And it's just always been something that's been within me. And when I started my marketing business, I was like, okay, I'm going to have the agency for a few years and then I'll start a coaching business, which wasn't really a great plan because I considered, I was beginning to have this kind of disdain towards the marketing industry. I'm like, how am I going to coach people when I don't even love this myself? So when I started, you know, when COVID hit and I'm looking at my situation, and I just, by the way, at this point, I just released my very first ebook around how to solo travel the world. It was a very exciting moment for me. And then the week after, it's like, by the way, we're not going to be able to go anywhere for some foreseeable time. So this has just happened. And I was thinking about it. And, you know, I'm sure you will hear as well, you've got a niche down. And I was looking at what I was portraying online as travel being the biggest part of my life, when although travel was a really big part of my life, it was not the biggest part of my life, and mindset and manifestation was a big part of my life. And in small, even big ways, this is the kind of thing I'd be like sharing with my friends and my family, and people would always be asking me like, how did you do this? And it just seemed like natural at first. I didn't know that I was going to coach people in this. I was just like, okay, I'm going to stop talking about travel so much on my Instagram because this is not really the biggest piece of me. And I also at this time had a Facebook community because I was in the content creation space, blogging space, and the Facebook community was called High Vibe Soul Tribe, and it was about mindset and manifestation for bloggers. And then I thought, well, this isn't just something that I want to share with bloggers and influencers. This is something that I want to share with ambitious women as a whole. So starting to shift my content. I was initially like, I'm just going to talk more about this because this is something I'm more interested in. And then from there, when I started to get like loads of questions and content ideas, I was like, this is actually more than just a content shift. This is an entire lifestyle shift. And this is something that I really, really want to share with people, whether that be through community, coaching, courses, whatever. I just want to share it in a way that feels really inclusive as well. Because something else I had noticed was in the coaching space is that, you know, the main voices that you were seeing were typically either white males or white females who were cisgendered. And I thought that there needed to be a shakeup, because what I had learned from the travel space was that all these women messaging me about solo travel would be primarily Black women. And it wasn't just like, how did you travel to this country? But it's like, is it safe for me there? Is it okay for me to go there? How was your experience as a Black woman there? And I think when you don't see people who look like you at the table, you wonder whether you're invited, you wonder where this space is for me. That's whether you're like Black, brown, any shade in between. And I really wanted to create a platform where I was not only sharing my message, but I was uplifting the message of others as well and sharing their messages too.
Oh, that's beautiful. And it's so, so needed. We definitely need multiple voices and, you know, people with different experiences and backgrounds and different kinds of privileges that they have. You know, there's so much there, right? And it's good that that's a very nice intention with which to have begun this. You said that, huh, I'm meant to do this. And the shift is not just a content shift, but a lifestyle shift and, you know, the whole thing that you're doing. And when that shift happens, when we take those steps that we are meant to really, this is your path, you know, the next step in your life. When that happens, there's a certain feeling that we have inside, this expansion. Can you explain that a little more to people so they can identify that, huh, what I'm feeling right now, that is what it is, and I should be following it.
Yeah. So I have to be honest, before that, yes, this is where I'm meant to be, there was terror. I was like, oh my God. I was working with a coach at this time, and I'd hired a coach to help me set goals around my marketing business. And every time I would show up to our calls, I would just be so upset, be really stressed out, really burnt out, and I would not be hitting the goals that we'd set. And it got to a point where I was showing up to a session, and my coach was just like, Fia, do you actually want to do this? And when she asked me that, I knew that I didn't want to do it. I just hadn't really allowed myself the permission to honestly answer that question. So I was like, no, I don't really want to be doing this business anymore. And she's like, okay, how would it feel if just for the next kind of few weeks, you just didn't do anything with that business, you didn't post anything on that Instagram, you just allowed yourself some breathing room. And if you want to go back to it after your break, amazing. And if you don't want to go back to it after the break, and that's fine. I was like, oh my God, this is terrifying. But I was like, yeah, okay, I might as well just try it out and see. And that was at the beginning of 2020, and I've just never gone back. So I pretty much ghosted my own business. So at first that felt really scary because I didn't actually know what I was going to be doing next. I was also kind of cutting off an income source, which, to be honest, it wasn't that consistent an income source, but we just, you know, I'd also just lost my part-time job due to COVID, and I was cutting off something that was potentially another income source. And after I'd made this decision was actually when I was getting more client inquiries than I'd ever had when I was fully going in the business. I would be getting emails like every other week, and I would be sending them to my competitor. I was like, I'm not doing this work anymore. You should go see this person. She's really good at what she does. And it was really challenging in a way to make those decisions, but it felt right for me because I was like, if I say yes to this, I'm saying no to myself. So ultimately what it comes down to is choosing yourself even when it's difficult, and knowing that when you begin to choose yourself more often, it becomes like a knowing. And I think it will feel different to different people, but for me it's just like this is right. And that this is right doesn't always mean this is easy.
Yeah, that's true. But I also believe, and I don't know, you possibly experienced this yourself too, where things fall into place a little more smoothly than if it is like, you don't feel like you're going against the flow or against the grain. Though it may be difficult, you still feel like supported, right? When you're on that path where you're meant to be going.
Yeah, absolutely. Although it can be challenging, it's like you're supported through this challenge, and you know that it's like, it's what you're meant to be doing.
Yeah. you know, as a part of your workshop and generally even on your podcast and everything, you speak about how, you know, everybody knows about the law of attraction, but that's just only one of 12 different laws, right? So I didn't know about these different, I mean, by the name, each law, but yeah, they all felt right. And so can you explain a bit more about these laws? Because looking at things, you know, law of attraction is very powerful. And I'm like you, the first time I watched The Secret, it felt like something, you know, you said it exactly the way I felt. Like, it's something I remembered. It's like, oh yeah, I knew this all along, you know, that kind of a thing. It was mind-blowing in that way. But that's not enough. That's not the only thing that exists. So can you speak a bit about the rest of them?
So there are many universal laws. Some people say 12, some people say 16. For me, I just go with the 12. But when many people are first introduced to conscious manifestation, they think, okay, just the law of attraction, because typically people are introduced through The Secret, either the documentary or the film. And it's really good to get acquainted with the law of attraction, but that misses out a lot of the equation, because it's not like you're just sitting at home thinking about how your life is going to change and then your life magically changes. You also need to do some things yourself. So there's also the law of action, which is taking inspired action in the direction of your desires. There's the law of polarity or duality that says with every up comes a down, right? So you'll hear the saying that with every level, there's a new devil, which is like, yeah, you're going to become more successful, but that doesn't mean that your life is going to be completely devoid of challenges. And you'll always see people say like, well, that person's rich, they don't have any real problems. But rich people have problems too. They just have different problems. And in business, people still have problems. So you have to understand and be prepared for that, be prepared for the dualistic nature of life. We have the law of divine oneness, which is that we are all connected, the law of karma. There are so many different incredible universal laws, and it's really interesting to get acquainted with all of them rather than just the law of attraction, because it really helps you expand your view of manifestation, and it makes it seem not so almost narrow. It gives you like so many different elements to play with.
When I started reading up a bit more about all these laws, there was something, but I felt like, oh no, I'm, you know, it with law of attraction, you're like, okay, you're just sitting visualizing and then turning into a magnet and things are coming to you. That's the mindset, right? And yeah, and you trust that, yes, you take the action based on those feelings or, you know, based on the visualization and things like that. But when you start reading up about these other laws, there's a feeling of like, oh no, I should be doing so much more, and that doesn't seem to be enough. So how do you kind of, because you, the important thing in all of this is feeling good, feeling joyful, not treating it as a chore, but actually just going with the flow and enjoying the process, right? Having fun with the process. So how do you study more about all these different aspects of things, but also not feel pressured or not feel anxious because of, you know, there are so many laws?
That's a really great question. And I think it goes back to what we kind of touched on before about there not being a right or wrong way to manifest. It's just around what works for you. So although I have the Vise framework and I say, you know, this is the way that I think is a good way to manifest, it's like, okay, what practices do I want to incorporate? And you may research on all the 12 universal laws, and then one specifically will speak to you. And that's one you want to do more research around. That's one you want to do more books around, read more books around, listen to more podcasts around. And that is what you have intuitively been drawn to, because that is an area you need to work on. So it's not about knowing everything, because we can never know everything. It's just intuitively allowing yourself to be guided to what you need to know or what you want to know, what feels really interesting to learn for you, what feels really fun and playful to learn for you, because it is about enjoying the process. And you're not going to be enjoying the process if you think, I have to study for 10 hours every night just so I memorize all the universal laws. That's not it. It's just be sure to know that it doesn't just end at the law of attraction, but that's not a bad thing. That means that there's so much more opportunities for you to play with.
Yeah, okay, that's just so much of a better way to look at it. Look at all of them as opportunities, not as rules, you know, that you have to follow. So if you're of course, we all keep meeting people. We all, you know, come across different teachers, different people in this process, in this, whatever it is we're doing in life, but particularly right now in this path of spirituality and manifestation and mindset and things like that. So are there people who you really, you know, love consuming their content or listening to them or, you know, attending their courses, and people who have influenced you greatly as you have gone, you know, as you yourself have become a manifestation coach?
I think for sure last year, obviously being inside so much, I read 52 books last year, and a lot of authors that I read last year have inspired me greatly. Carolyn Elliott, who has an incredible book called Existential Kink, which is about a new way to look at your limiting beliefs and to embrace the, in inverted commas, like bad parts of you. I found that hugely transformative. David Cameron Gikandi, he is a coach who talks about quantum manifestation and manifesting wealth, not only in terms of financial wealth, but in terms of overall prosperity. I love Jack Canfield, The Success Principles. Reading a really great book just now by Bronnie Ware, which is The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And she worked in palliative care and had the chance to speak to all of these patients around their lives before they pass away, and has compiled these into the top 5 things that people regret most on their deathbed. And that's been such an emotional read. Deepak Chopra, so many people. And it's always changing, and I'm introduced to new people all the time. But yeah, those are some of my favorite books. I think I have a podcast episode about my top 10, but those are, you know, my all times, and I could go back to those over and over again. And those have definitely changed the way that I see the world and the way I think. And I also listen to my own podcast. I listen to my own podcast on double speed because I forget what I've talked about like 3 months ago, 4 months ago. So it's good to listen back and also see like, oh yeah, you had an interesting point there, or wow, we've changed so much since then.
I love hearing you say that. I mean, I totally relate to that and resonate. Like, I love listening to my own show too. And I feel like, yes, that means that content is helpful content. It's meant to help the world because it's helping you so much, so many times, right? A lot of times as content creators, I think when we put things out there, we are also using that as reminders for ourselves. Even the first time when we're writing it down or when we are recording that podcast episode, it helps clarify things for us, right? And it's just so beautiful.
Totally. Because you might have all these thoughts floating around in your head, but when you come to put it in a podcast episode, you're like, right, how can I make this make sense for other people? And in doing that, it makes more sense for yourself as well.
that's again, you know, I think a teacher, someone who's innately a teacher, thinks this way. It's been beautiful, Effia. It's a lovely conversation. It's so good to have you on the show and, you know, listen to all these insights from you. If you'd like to share anything else, you know, before we close up, please do share with the audience, as well as let everyone know, you know, where they can connect with you, how they can follow you and such.
Yeah, the final thing I would probably say is the work I do is all around helping people manifest their extraordinary life. And the very first step of that is shifting your perspective to knowing that if you want to manifest an extraordinary life, have all these extraordinary things, that first you need to see yourself as an extraordinary person. So really acknowledge how far you've come in this life already, how many incredible things you've already achieved, how many lives you've touched, whether that's your friends, your family, people in your business. Just acknowledge what you've done already and really look forward to where you're going next in this journey, because it is an epic, epic ride. But never forget to acknowledge those daily wins, those hourly wins, those minute-by-minute wins, because blink and you'll miss them.
Thank you. That's just so beautiful. Thank you so much for that. So how can everybody connect with you? Where can they find you, follow you, etc.?
So the best way to probably find me is over on Instagram, which is Effia_Salter_. You can check out my podcast, The Manifest Edit. And I also have a free retreat, which will be talking about the Vibes framework that we discussed on the podcast. And we'll leave a link for that in the show notes as well.
I'm excited about the retreat. I'm all signed up. I know I won't be able to attend live, but yeah, I know you'll have the, you know, videos on the group for me to catch up with later and everything. So it's very, very exciting. Well, thank you so much for being here, Rifia. It was lovely chatting with you.
You too.
Bye. Hey, lovely people. If you enjoyed this episode, you are totally going to like everything I send in my Feel Good Tribe newsletter. I send out emails once or twice a month with secret stories, fun updates, life and business tips, vegan guidance, and so much more. Go to my website, veganosaurus.com, that is veganosaurus.com, and scroll down right to the bottom to be able to sign up to the newsletter. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Feel Good Factor. I'm Susmita Veganosaurus, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again very soon. Bye!